Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast. Does work have to be this way? No, it does not. You can make a big splash in the world without sacrificing your soul to do it. Call it existential angst, a midlife crisis, or just the desire to have another throw of the dice. You're ready to rethink this whole work thing and configure a life and a career that really reflects who you are and what you care about. Together, we can do this. Together, we're punks in suits. Hello, and welcome to episode 60 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. Today, I want to talk to you about busyness. We've already talked about money, and we will definitely come back to that for sure, because as I said in that episode, the idea of financial abundance and ease around money has always been difficult for me and continues to be difficult for me. So even though I'm starting to get to grips with that, I'm going to learn a lot more and I want to share that with you. So we'll definitely come back to it. But typically time and money are the two greatest obstacles to getting stuff done. Lack of time and lack of money, I should say, just to be clear. So if you're trying to get stuff done or live in alignment or make bold choices or shake up your professional life or really make any kind of change, the two biggest barriers that you're going to come up against, and certainly the two that I hear articulated most often, are time and money. So we've talked a little bit about money, let's talk about time. Our lives are crammed full, or we're recovering from lives that are crammed full. And I noticed a few years ago that the right answer to the question, how are you, appeared to be busy. So someone asks, how's business? And you say busy. Or someone says, how's life? And you say busy. Or someone says, how's your job? And you say busy. And I started to wonder, when did busy become the equivalent of happy or content or fulfilled? When we're not busy, we often feel like something's wrong. We have to be doing, otherwise we're unproductive. And this is even though we know that levels of productivity are decreasing, not increasing, despite the fact that we're all so busy. I did some research some years ago into this concept of busyness and found some very old study actually of workers in a munitions factory in the First World War. And it was found that those workers who had time off, weekends for instance, were more productive than those who took no breaks and who didn't take weekends and who did more hours, even though they were active for fewer hours of the week. There was a fabulous article in The Guardian just a week ago or so, 19th of January, called Post Work, The Radical Idea of a World Without Jobs. And I was very excited when this was forwarded to me. Someone forwarded me the link. And I just thought, well, this is perfect because it really rang true for me, especially as I had just recorded the podcast about unwork. So they call it Post Work. And this article is full of really interesting data and really interesting facts about the history of work and why we work the way we do. And one of the things that was mentioned in this article was that during the three-day week in the early 70s, 1974, productivity improved by 5%. Not only that, but work hasn't always been central to our lives. It's been something that we did that enabled us to live the rest of our lives. So when we work fewer days, when we work less hard, productivity improves. And this idea that work is central to our lives is something relatively new. There is something incredibly unhealthy about the busyness of our lives today. And I just want to quote you a little bit of that Guardian article, which really resonated with me. Work is badly distributed. People have too much or too little or both in the same month. And away from our unpredictable, all-consuming workplaces, vital human activities are increasingly neglected. Workers lack the time or energy to raise children attentively or to look after elderly relations. The crisis of work is also a crisis of home, declared the social theorists Helen Hester and Nick Sniekic in a paper last year. this neglect will only get worse as the population grows and ages. I just thought that beautifully summed up how I've been feeling about work and how so many of the people that I work with, the people that I talk to, feel about work too. For us to live integrated lives where work and the rest of life are balanced, where we do what we do for work without sacrificing everything else that's important to us, and where we're really making an impact through our contribution, we have to start questioning this busyness. And as with any change, this is fundamentally a shift in mindset. A couple of post-workers interviewed for the Guardian article talked about doing a four-day working week or working quite flexibly. I don't think that that's unwork. I don't think that's post-work. That's part-time working or flexible working. Unwork is about completely rethinking our relationship with work, completely rethinking what work looks like, how our contribution to society is valued and rewarded, and what a valuable life, a successful life, looks like. You can't simply cut your hours and expect everything else to fall into place. You will still have the guilt hangover. You will still be trying to fit 5 days of work into four. You'll still be feeling like you're not busy enough and there's something wrong with that. If we hold on tight to the idea that busy is the same as content or fulfilled, or most of all, busy is the same as successful, then we'll always be busy. I'm reminded of a client of mine years ago who wanted to give up smoking, except he couldn't stand ex-smokers. And I pointed out that it would be very hard for him to give up smoking if he resented the very type of person that he was going to become, an ex-smoker. It's only if he started to love ex-smokers and to really want to be like them, to have a positive association with the idea of an ex-smoker, that he'd be able to become one. If we're attached to the conventional ideas that we have around busy, we will not be able to stop. Or if we stop, we'll feel terrible, which of course is not going to be the key to a happy, successful life. Instead, we have to embrace not busy. So here are six ideas, six tips for you to start noticing and then addressing your addiction to busy. So number one, watch out for adrenaline. We are adrenaline addicts as a society, and we seek ways to feed that addiction. When you notice the adrenaline pumping, it's often because you're busy. So stop, take a breath, slow down, and then see if you can complete the task without the adrenaline. Now, the ironic thing is that as I was preparing this podcast, I was quite adrenalized. I don't have a huge amount of time to record this today, and I'd really like to get it done. And I was writing this line that to stop and breathe and slow down, and I actually stopped and breathed and slowed down. Number two, look at removing as many scheduled activities and appointments from your diary as you can. Keep your diary as open as possible. I saw maybe a year or two an interview with Warren Buffett where he opened up his little diary. He has a little black paper diary in his pocket, and he opened it up for the cameras to see, and it was blank. He spends most of his time thinking, and when he has a good idea, he thinks about it a bit more. My all-time hero, certainly one of my all-time heroes, John Harvey Jones, the troubleshooter, said that 80% of time should be thinking and planning, and only 20% of time should be taking action. I love that idea, and we are probably, all of us, incredibly far away from that 80-20 proportion around thinking and action. But maybe start by adding in 5%. Of thinking time to your diary, if that's all you can manage. And then just keep adding thinking time. Number three, stop telling people that you're busy or making excuses for not being busy. You might feel like jumping in with that response, oh yes, 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 I'm very busy, or actually, surprisingly, I'm not that busy at the moment. Try to stop yourself. Try to break the habit of answering the question, how are you, with some sort of reply that has to do with how busy you are. That's not actually what you're being asked. See if you can think of another answer that has nothing to do with whether you're busy or whether you're not busy. 4, break out of the 9 to 5 or the 8 to 7 or whatever it is your typical working day. Be spontaneous. Today we went shopping. We hadn't planned it. I was going to spend the afternoon at my desk actually doing this podcast, but it was bad weather and we wanted to do something indoors and we need some stuff for our trip actually. And there wasn't really anything fixed in the diary. And I thought to myself, well, I can record the podcast this evening instead. Breaking out of the 9 to 5 guilt-free is like a 2 fingers up to the deeply embedded idea that you have to work before play, that evenings must be for relaxation while days are for work, that you're somehow doing something wrong if you can spend a few hours in the mall of an afternoon. There was some discomfort in it, and I did check my phone, but I also thought to myself, baby steps, at least I'm here. 5, ask yourself whether what you're doing in any particular moment is actually important or useful. Sometimes I find myself buzzing around the kitchen, tidying up around my daughter, often throwing things away before she's even finished with them. And 10 minutes later, she'll ask where the thing is and I realise it's in the bin. And I'm really noticing myself doing this right now and often deciding to stop that buzzing around and tidying up and sit down with her instead. And I reason to myself, I'll never get on top of it all anyway. Which brings me to my 6th point. You'll never get on top of it all anyway. Even if you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at midnight, you won't ever be finished with the email and the tidying and the social media and the planning and the report writing and the honing your presentation and resolving some personal tension at work and whatever else it is that takes your time. Knowing you can't ever be finished is quite liberating, I think. It's your decision what good enough looks like. I have a friend who at one point had 4 kids under the age of 5 years old. And she told me when I asked her how she managed that, she said she just decided to forget about cleaning up and to focus on the cuddles. And I often remember that when I'm staring down a 30-point to-do list. How much of this is more important than getting out of my office and sitting with my daughter and watching Party of 5 reruns on Netflix? Not much, especially if part of the reason that I do the work that I do is to enable me to spend time with her. It doesn't make any sense then if that work is the reason that I'm not with her. The pressure to be busy is a pressure that comes from out there and also from within. But it is a construct. It's an old myth created in the 16th century with the Protestant idea of the work ethic and baked into the industrial age working culture. But busyness is a trap. You could even say that it's not religion anymore that's the opiate of the people, but busyness. Being too busy to take an interest in what's going on in the world, to indulge your curiosity, to participate in a life that's about more than work, to question why we live the way we do. If you're too busy to do that, then you're too busy to figure out how to live another way. It's an anarchistic idea, I think, that work may be overrated, that life really isn't about work, or certainly in the way that work's been done for the last 200, 300 years. It's a threat to those in authority to think this way. They don't like it when you start saying, actually, I don't need to play this game. So when you start to question busyness and you create time for nothing or for fun or for friends or family or for relaxation or sleeping in until 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, it's massively countercultural and massively confrontational. And I admit that I love that. Please do stay in touch with us here. You can email, you can get me on Instagram, you can follow me on Twitter, you can come to our Facebook page. There's a million ways that you can get in touch. But try not to spend too much time getting in touch. I want you to have plenty of time to just stare at the ceiling. With a reminder about how you can contact me, how you can stay in touch, how you can share your stories and ideas and suggestions for future shows, here's the lovely and terribly relaxed Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. You can stay in touch with us on Instagram at Punks in Suits and on our Punks in Suits Facebook page. You can also sign up to our newsletter at www.thatpeopleding.com. I'll say it again. www.thatpeopleding.com. You can also find out more about working with Mummy as a speaker or as a coach on that website too. And please leave a comment and a star rating on iTunes. Please 5 stars before it's 5. Go ahead and do that now, as it helps other people find this podcast so that they can reveal more of the punk underneath their hood.